Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
We're gathered here this morning to praise your holy name, and we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you give us the Holy Spirit to guide us and to move us and to lead us. And so we ask that you fall upon us this morning, open our hearts, transform us, and change us by the preaching and teaching of God's word. It is in Jesus' name that we pray, and all God's people said, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day.
Whew, mercy. Y'all have not had enough coffee this morning. Happy Father's Day, guys.
Happy Father's Day.
All right, that's a little better. Those of you that were here on Mother's Day, we preached on Elizabeth, who was a spirit-filled woman. And so I want to preach on the husband of that family, the father of that family, a man by the name of Zacharias, who was also filled by the Spirit of God. And by the way, their son, John the Baptist, was filled by the Spirit of God from his mama's womb. Wouldn't it be amazing if every family at Second Mile Church was filled by the Spirit of Almighty God? That would be amazing. It'd be wonderful. And so I want to talk about that today. If you're in the Word, I'm not going to make you stand for one verse, but if you would honor God's Word by looking at Luke chapter 1, verse 67. Just want to read one verse, and then we'll pray. Ask the Lord to bless the Word. Luke chapter 1. Now his father, speaking of John the Baptist, was filled with the Holy Spirit. You might jump over there to verse 41. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And then here it is. Verse 15 says, "For he will be great in the sight of the Lord," speaking of John the Baptist, "and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb." And so this entire family was filled by the Spirit of Almighty God. And so I want to talk to you for the next few minutes about the benefits of being not just a spirit-filled man and a spirit-filled husband, but a spirit-filled person. So girls, there's something in it for you. Tell your neighbor, there's something in it for me. All right. Father, bless the word today now. I pray that you would apply it to our hearts and minds. And God, help us to be obedient to the things that you call us to do here today. We pray it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You know, men have a tough time today. I thought surely I'd get an amen out of one of you males. Men have a tough time today. You may feel a little bit like that man, that husband, that father that took his family on vacation a few years ago, and they were driving cross country, they had two sons, young sons, and as a lot of times as young brothers will do, they had fought and screamed and picked and poked at one another all along the way, and the whole time dad's saying, "If you two boys don't stop it, I'm going to get you. Shut up, be quiet, stop all that." Well, they just kept on and getting louder and louder and louder. And finally, after about 300 miles, this father, this husband, pulls over on the side of the road and gets off on a side road, and he parks the car, slams it up and gets out of the car, tells his two boys to get out, and he whips the daylight out of them. I'm agreeing with Billy Walker. Timeout never worked with me. Ever. And so he told them to get back in the car. And they did. Whimpering and crying, you know, and tears running down. And so he backs up, gets back out on the main road, and he turns around and he says, I don't want to hear another peep out of you all. You be quiet. I don't want to hear anything. You understand? And they said, yeah, yes, yes. Well, finally, after about 30 minutes, the older son said, Dad, is it okay if we talk now? He said, yeah, I guess so. What do you want? And he said, well, Dad, when you pulled off the road way back there and spanked us, my shoe fell off and it's still laying in the road. I'm going to tell you, men have a tough time today. Amen, guys? And I think a lot of men feel overworked, underpaid, and some of them feel underappreciated. And I think that our society plays into that, you know? They say that a real man ought to be able to outdrink his buddies, and a real man ought to be able to whip everybody that's around him, and a real man has a lot of women, and a real man makes tons and tons and tons and tons of money. And all that sounds all good and all that stuff, but I want to tell you, that is not what the Bible says a real man ought to be. And, you know, and I think men are under more stress and pressure now than maybe they've ever been. And as a result, a lot of men have checked out. Did you know there's 164 men in America? And 120 million of them don't attend church anywhere. They've even checked out from church. I'm going to tell you, if you got a man here, look at him and say, I'm so glad you're here. Now, with a response like that, they might come back at Christmas. Tell them, say, I'm so glad you're here. Because, hey, it's not like this in most places. It's not. But I want to tell you, I believe God has hardwired our families. And everybody just intuitively knows that a man, the man in that family is a leader, should be a leader. I thank God for the women. A lot of times the guys drop the ball and the women have to pick up the reins of leadership, right? But did y'all know, I ran across some statistics from Lifeway this week, and listen to this. Listen to this. This is about 18 years old, and it's probably even more so now. But what they found out was that when a child comes to faith in Christ, like during Bible school, 3.5% of the time, the entire family winds up coming to Christ. Isn't that great? Well, when the woman in that family, the wife or the mother, comes to faith in Christ, 17% of the time, the entire family follows suit and they wind up becoming saved. 17%. But here is the kicker. When the man in that family comes to faith in Christ, 93% of the time, the entire family comes to Jesus. Because you know why? Somehow, some way, that wife, that mama, and those kids know that the man has a role of leadership in the family. It's God ordained, whether we like it or not. And one of the results of the fall is that the women don't like that. Go read your Bible, Genesis chapter 3. And a lot of men, the result of the fall, they have let go of those spiritual reins of leadership. Now, men are not dictators. How many of y'all have a dictator? Don't answer that. But we're to be loving, gentle, kind, compassionate, spirit-filled leaders. And so I want to talk about the benefits of being a spirit-filled man, father, husband, wife, mother. Would to God that all of us were filled by the Spirit of God on a regular basis. Amen? And there's three great benefits in this text in Luke chapter 1 about being filled by the Spirit of God. Y'all gonna have to listen up quick, man. It's 9:43. Hallelujah. Thank God for these Spirit-filled clocks. First truth I want to give you out of this text is that being filled by the Spirit brings holiness. It brings holiness. Look at verse 6 in chapter 1. Again, we're talking here about Elizabeth and Zacharias. He was a priest working there at the temple in Jerusalem. And verse 6 says, and they were both what? Righteous before God, walking in all the commandments. I said all the commandments. And the ordinances of the Lord, blameless. If you are a Spirit-filled believer, one of the great characteristics that being Spirit-filled and Spirit-led is that of holiness. You live a holy life. How is that possible, Brother Cal? I'm not holy, and I'm a believer. Yes, you are. You are holy. How many of y'all get the one call now from me? Most of you. Some of you that don't need to get on that list. But I'll always say, hello, this old Brother Cal. I wanted to talk to all my second mile saints. Do you know what the name saint means? It means one who is set apart, one who is holy. You say, well, I'm not holy. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 real quick with me. And I want to tell you, you are holy, whether you know it or not. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Flip fast. Do this fast or whatever. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he made him, we're talking about the Lord Jesus, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. Why? That we might become the righteousness of God in him. One of the benefits of being filled by the Spirit of God is holiness. And the scripture describes that as righteousness. Now we know that in our flesh and in our own person, there's nothing righteous about it. The Bible says there's none righteous. No, not one. But here's the deal. If you're a believer, if you're a called out child of God, and you have repented of your sin, if you made a spiritual U-turn, and you turned from your sin and turned to Christ as your only means of salvation, by grace through faith, repentance and faith, and you have received him as your Lord and Savior, guess what? The Spirit of God came in and baptized you, and God looks at you today as if you are righteous because you're clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. God has declared that you're holy. Oh, come on, Baptist Church, give him some praise today. Hallelujah. He has declared that we're holy, righteous. Righteous in position and standing with him. And then the scripture also says that this brother named Zacharias, this priest, was not only righteous, he was blameless. Now, does that mean he was sinless? No. Not a one of us in here is sinless. But it says that he was blameless. In other words, he took account and he was dealing with anything in his life that wasn't right with God. He wanted to please the Lord. And so he's walking in a way that's above reproach. He wants to live his life that's pleasing to God. Am I communicating with anybody? I mean, his lips flowed with honesty. Man, his heart was coated with integrity. His life was marked by fidelity. He was blameless. He lived and did his best under the... And by the way, you can live that way if you have the Spirit of God in you. You can. You can live in a way that's righteous. And God sees you as righteous. And you can live a blameless... You can live your life above reproach. A life that's pleasing to God. Now, girls, your guy's not perfect. Kiddos, your daddy's not perfect. But guess what he is? He's a child of the King. And if he's a child of the King, hallelujah. He's been declared righteous. And so being filled by the Spirit brings this wonderful characteristic called holiness. Say holiness. Holiness. Fellas, what about you today? Are you standing in righteousness? Are you clothed in the righteousness of Christ? Are you living a blameless life? Are you living your life a step ahead of the rest of the crowd? There's something that might communicate. It is time that the church rose up. Folks, we're not supposed to be like all of them. We're supposed to be like Him. It's okay to be different. Now, don't go out here and act like a nerd. You won't draw anybody to Christ that way. But hey, we're different. We're to be in the world, but not of the world. Y'all with me so far? Okay. Here's the second benefit. If you're filled by the Spirit of God, if you're a believer, and you're walking and being led by the Spirit, you're going to get the help that you need. Help that you need. Now, go back to Luke chapter 1. Now, Zacharias had some privileges. He was a priest. He was able to go into the holy place and he would burn incense on the altar, and he took care of the duties and things that a priest. So he had some major privileges. But I want to tell you, Zacharias had one big problem. Here it is, verse 7, Luke 1. But they, Elizabeth and Zacharias, had no child, because Elizabeth was barren and they were both well advanced in years. But now jump down to verse 13. But the angel said to him, "Don't be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." Zacharias had a problem. Elizabeth had a problem. Now, back in those days, in that male-dominated society and male lineage and all of that stuff was passed down, and you know, your property, your prestige, your position, everything came through the male lineage. And so they had no son. They had no child. It was a problem in those days. And to make matters worse, guess what color of hair Zacharias had? He's an old man. And Elizabeth is past childbearing years. They've got a problem. They needed help. Now, I want to say this to all of our single adults, and maybe a few couples here who can't have children, or God hadn't blessed with children. Do you know what? You need to write this down. Isaiah 56 verses 4 and 5 says, if you will keep the commandments of God and serve God with all of your heart, guess what? God will be so real to you that it'll be better than having sons or daughters. That's what the Scripture says. Give God praise. Hallelujah. And so whatever your problem is, God can meet it. And so what did Elizabeth, what had this couple been doing for years now? What have they been doing? Praying. Don't you quit praying. The Spirit of God that lives in you prompts those prayer requests. And when you take that word to God, He hears it. Especially if you're in the center of His will. This isn't a trick, but this is true. If you will pray God's word back to Him, those promises in Scripture back to Him, God will not only hear your prayer, He'll answer your prayer right then, because that's in His will. And so don't you quit. And so this angel Gabriel, y'all remember the angel Gabriel? Where else did the angel Gabriel show up? Where? Yes. You remember Mary? What did y'all have for breakfast? Mercy. We're half dead this morning. Come on, y'all. Look at your neighbor and say, wake up. Now, hear this. They've been praying, okay? They've got a great need in their family. So they've been lifting up that prayer need to the Lord each and every day. And all of a sudden, the angel Gabriel shows up and says, hey, Zacharias, I got good news for you. You're going to have a son. You're going to call his name John the Baptist. And oh, is he going to be something else? He is going to prepare people for the coming Messiah. He's going to prepare the way for them. Many in Israel will come to faith in the Messiah. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. He'll be a Nazarite. He'll be set apart for God. How many of you know, sometimes when God meets a need, He also meets a few wants? Hallelujah. And what a preacher John the Baptist was. I can't wait to hear one of his sermons up there in glory. But you know what Zechariah said? You can read about it when you get home. But he said, now wait a minute, Gabriel. You understand that we don't have any kids. You got that right. But I'm an old man. And my wife can't bear children anymore. She's too old. And the angel Gabriel said, well, I'm reading between the lines. He must have said something like, well, big boy, you have just blown it because God has answered your prayer and you don't believe. And so we're going to shut your mouth for 9 months. And for 9 months, he was mute. Couldn't speak. Whew. Now, if some of y'all are thinking, boy, that would be a great blessing. Can I just tell y'all, Diana can tell you, if I couldn't speak for 9 months, you might as well just take me on to the house, to the graveyard, because I got to speak. But for 9 months, all he could do to communicate was to grab a tablet and write something down on it. Unbelief brings silence from God. I don't know who I'm talking to. But faith is the victory that overcomes the world. But his need is being met. His need's being met. And I don't know what your need is here today, but I've come here today to tell you, sir, God can meet that need you've got. You may be turning to your family to meet the need. You may be turning to an employer to meet that need. You may be turning to someone else to meet that need. But guys and girls, God can meet your need. And he wants to meet your need. I think he takes special pleasure in meeting your needs. Here's my boy Isaac. I love to be able to meet his needs. And on a much grander, greater scale, God loves to meet the needs of his kids. Hallelujah. So whatever that Psalm 33, 16b says, that you cannot be delivered from your fears, your worries, in your own strength. In other words, we can't meet the needs that we have in our strength. But Psalm 34:4 says that God can deliver you from all of your worries, anxieties, fear, stressors. Write it down, Psalm 34:4. There it is. I sought the Lord and he heard me. My grandmama's favorite verse. And we know that God shall supply all of our need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Whatever your need is, he's going to meet that need. But every now and then, you might need to ask him for it. I could say so much more here. But again, guys, whatever the need is, if you'll cry out to the Lord, he'll meet that need. There's one final thing, and I really like this one, because we need to hear this today. A third benefit, according to this text, of those who are being led by the Spirit, those who are being filled by the Spirit, or those who are being or walking in the Spirit, not only is holiness and help, but it's happiness. A Spirit-filled believer has joy. Did you see that? Down there in verse 14, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. A Spirit-filled believer has joy unspeakable and full of glory. How can you, as a believer, walk through life with your lower lip dragging the ground? And for some reason, we bought into this misnomer I grew up that you can't be holy and be happy at the same time. And Dwight will tell you, I grew up over at First Baptist Clarksville. We had some of the finest preaching you'd ever hear. Billy can tell you. John Lytle, great preacher. And man, our music was off the chain. Our choir, Bill Morris, orchestra, we had Holy Ghost music. But you know what? Everybody sat there like a wooden Indian. Nobody got happy in those services because you know what? You couldn't be holy if you were happy. My Bible says David danced before the Lord. My Bible says if you're full of the Spirit, that you're full of glory and you've got great joy. deep down in your spirit. And on the day John the Baptist was born, I take that back, 8 days after John the Baptist was born, you know what you did with a Jewish boy? You took him to be circumcised to the temple, to the priest. And so he got there with Elizabeth and little John. And they said, well, what are you going to name this boy? I think we ought to call him Junior after Zacharias. And Elizabeth said, no, we're not going to call him Junior. We're going to call him John, because that's what God said. And then they looked at Zacharias and said, Zacharias, what do you think we ought to call him? Don't you want to name him after you? And he said, give me a tag. And he wrote the name John down on it. And right then, God loosed his tongue. And he began to praise God. And he began to glorify God. Do you know what I think he'd been doing for 9 months? I think he'd been praying and reading the scriptures. And he got a good dose of the coming Messiah. Because when you start reading down through this prophetic song that he began to sing in verses 67 through 80, I mean, he's quoting scripture from Joel, from the Psalms, from Samuel, from Isaiah, from Jeremiah. He's got a message to share. You can read it when you get to the house. He's talking about the coming Messiah, the coming of the Lord. And he understands that his son, John, is going to be the forerunner of the Christ. He's going to get people's hearts ready to receive their Messiah. And man, he just begins to, and by the way, if you don't share your faith on a regular basis, you're not filled by the Spirit of God. I got that scripture. It's scriptural. Because if you're filled by the Spirit of God, you're going to testify of Jesus. Hello? And so this is where we are this morning, right? Because if you're filled by the Spirit of God, you've got a message to share. Can I just tell you? I start thinking about, man, what God's done for me. Y'all will understand that. Mike and Donna, we got a bunch of grandparents in the house today. Every time there's a grandbaby come along, oh, let me tell you about this grandbaby. And they start pulling pictures out off their phone. I mean, and they tell you what his name is or her name is, how big they were, and what they're going to do, and how they've got the house all decorated. And, da, 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 and you hear more than you ever wanted to know about that grandbaby. That's the way it ought to be with Jesus. If you've got him in here, he's done far more for us than any person on the planet. And so when you're filled by his Spirit, you've got a message to share. And then really what this prophetic, let me just read verse 63. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote saying his name is John. So they all marveled. And immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed and he spoke praising God. Then fear came on all who dwelt around them, and all these sayings were discussed throughout all the hill country of Judea, and all those who heard them kept them in their hearts, saying, what kind of child will this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. Yep. And then he gives this great prophecy about the coming of the Messiah. And he's not only prophesying, he's praising and preaching and singing. Can I just tell you, brother, sister, if you're a child of God, you've got a song to sing. You got a song to sing. And some of y'all need to notify your face every now and then. You got joy unspeakable. It's deep down in you. The Spirit that lives in you. If you're happy and you know it, say amen.
Amen.
Half of y'all just lied. We've got joy, amen. And nobody can take it from us. I wish my daughter Brittany was here. She sings a song called... What is it, Diane, about being happy? What's the title of it? I've got a song to sing. I've got a song. I won't sing it. I'm going to get on to her this afternoon and tell her she should have been here to sing that song for her daddy. Here's the bottom line. The Spirit that lives within me, this very morning, as I was studying, preparing, and praying, this great joy just began to fill my heart. And I began to look at all those guys, those men on the wall in my study. And I'm like, God, why? Why have you blessed me? Why have you been so good to me? And then I started thinking about my spiritual journey and how far God's brought me. When I was just lost and undone. And at Montgomery Bell State Park, he reached down and got a hold of me. And that next night, I gave my heart and life to Jesus in my basement bedroom. And God's been with me the whole way. And he's blessed me so many times. How can I not surrender my body, my mind, and my will to him? He gave his life for me. And just like Zacharias, man, I've got a message to share and I've got a song to sing. And we ought to be shining like lights. I didn't read Philippians 2:15, but that basically says, if we'll live according to God's commandments and be filled by the Spirit, there it is right there. We'll live without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights. We live in a dark world, don't we? We live in a nation that's increasingly growing darker and darker spiritually. But you get a born again, blood washed, spirit filled, spirit led believer out here, and you shine like the light. You shine. You shine. And people see that light. And I tell you, when you're in the darkness, you're drawn to the light, aren't you? And we'll continue to lift up the light of Jesus in this place. Hallelujah. And so those are the benefits of being filled by the Spirit of God. Now, you can't be filled by the Spirit of God on a regular basis. In other words, surrendering control of everything that you are to everything that he is, becoming Lord of your life until you receive him. That's why I share the gospel every Sunday. That's the greatest need. And if you're here today, can I just tell you, God loves you. He loves every single one of you more than you'll ever realize, more than you'll ever understand. So much that the Father sent the Son to pay the price, to take the punishment for our sin. And the Bible says, if you'd be willing to turn from your sin and trust Christ in his finished work on the cross and in the grave, he will receive you and he will baptize you into the body of Christ. And he'll give you his Spirit. And then on a daily basis, you can walk in the Spirit, be led by the Spirit, and have holiness and help and happiness. And you'll shine for God's glory. If you haven't done that, do that today. You can do it right where you sit. You can do it here at an altar. And then maybe the larger issue is there's a lot of needs in this church house today. There's a lot of needs. It may be a financial need. It may be a physical need. It may be a health need. It may be a relational need. It may be a social need. Whatever kind of, whatever it is. I believe in an old-fashioned altar. That's where they used to go in the Bible when they needed prayer. They would go to an altar. So I would encourage you, if you've got a need today, bring it to the Lord Jesus right here. And we will pray over you and pray with you. I'm having trouble landing this plane because I so want everybody to get what we're talking about here today. Let's pray together. Father, we sure do need you. Like a child needs his daddy, we need you. And we are hopeless and helpless without you. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. And so, Lord, but with you, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So, Father, I pray right now within the sound of my voice that people might bring their needs to Jesus. Spiritual needs first and foremost. Other needs, because Jesus is the great need meter. He can meet every need through his Spirit here today. God, touch us and bless us with your presence. Thank you for dads and fathers on this great day. But most of all, Father, thank you for you. Thank you for being Father God. Hallelujah. We're going to stand in just a moment. We're going to sing, and it's your time. It's your time to come. Whether it be for salvation, family needs, job needs, social needs, mental needs, whatever it is. Father, bless us now as we obey the Spirit of the living God. Do not let us quench your Spirit in this place. Do not let us grieve you in disobedience. Please, Lord, set us free today. In Jesus' name, let's all quietly stand. Brother Andrew's going to lead us.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.